This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
That was the chance that could be heard all over Wisconsin, but specifically at Whistling Straits. That's because the Ryder Cup went the way of the U.S. In fact, the U.S. was so dominant they smashed the Europeans 19-9. People, even if you're not a sports fan, have some American pride. This is very, very big, this blowout, because the U.S. has been terrible in the most recent Ryder Cups. Last time around in Paris when they were really thrashed by the Europeans. So this was a very nice way to cap off a weekend. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as we rock into another week. Couple of quick sports things here at the top, because why not? If you were doing the nail the score thing, our nail the score game, nobody nailed it. Oh, I am so disappointed by that, because I was hoping somebody would have nailed the score. But there were some crazy things that happened in the NFL, and we'll get to them later in the show as we do kind of an odds and ends mix with a little bit of the man cave in between. So what happened in that game, the nail the score game, which was on Monday. Monday was when we did the nail the score thing. The Rams beat the Buccaneers 34-24. And while you're listening, your chance to win some incredible prizes from this show happen on Wednesday in our last segment of our first hour. If you call in, all you have to do is take a guess at whatever the score is for the game that I've picked for the week and pick a side. You don't have to know anything about football. In fact, you can hate football. It's like playing bingo. You're just picking some numbers and a team. So I do have to mention this, too, since I started off loading you up on some sports moments before we get into the rest of the tug of war that we're having over the buzz in my backyard and yours, as I say all the time. The Packers beat the 49ers 30-28. Mason Crosby nailed a 51-yard field goal with seconds left, and it was 37 seconds on the clock where the 49ers were ahead by a point after an amazing drive, and Aaron Rodgers got it close enough for Crosby to get in that game winner. So what a thriller. And the Packers are now 2-1. When all the conversation was about Aaron Rodgers and what's he going to do, and oh, what's going to happen with the his deal with the Green Bay Packers, that's all forgotten now. All right, speaking of all forgotten, it's not all forgotten, but it's cleared up. Del Rio, a mess just a week and a half ago when we were talking a lot about thousands upon thousands of people that were hovering under a bridge with the clothes on their back, babies in their arms, food that was floating around in the water, just terrible humanitarian crisis. All of a sudden, so many Haitians making their way there. That's all been cleared. The bridge is cleared in Del Rio. But the smoke is not cleared over immigration and immigration woes. This is nothing new, and all of you know it, because since the time I've been doing this show and since the time I jumped into even television news out of school, that's what we've been talking about, the immigration woes. They've just gotten worse and worse and twisted in much in many, many different ways, I'll say. I guess that's the best way to say that. So this was just the latest in a series of problems that we know exist. And how do those problems go away? And the answer is tough choices need to be made, but they're never made. They're just pushed down the road. So in this case, You got to give credit to the Border Patrol because they, along with so many others that went to help, made this happen. They got people out, processed them, boom, gone, gone, gone. And so many were asylum seekers, and many of them were sent out of the United States and back to Haiti. I said this before, but it's worth mentioning again because I think there was some confusion about, well, how did they get there? You know, how did they get from Haiti to there with all the problems that are happening in Haiti? And the answer is that all of them weren't there from Haiti. Yes, they were Haitians. Yes, they got out of Haiti, but they were living in South and Central America. And then all of a sudden there was that push to, we better get over. We better try to get over, make this happen, and get the blank out of here. You know, so we're doing it. And Del Rio is the place where we're going to try to enter. And that's exactly what happened. So full tilt happened because of how many people at that moment in time decided they were going to make that move. Right. And will more Haitians make their way to the border? I think that nothing is going to be stopped at the border for now. I mean, there's, you know, the word can spread, hey, you might be sent away. But I think the push is get to America, get to America. That's what's going to happen. Well, we have to go through these treacherous jungles in Panama on the Colombian border. We have to make our way north. We got to get to the United States. And that's still that push. That's why on the peak, there was 15,000 people. Because they were fleeing social chaos, political chaos, economic chaos, not just from Haiti, but from where they were. But that camp cleared of thousands of Haitians by Friday heading into the weekend. Most in the United States for now, others expelled on deportation flights that went to Mexico. Yeah. But there are still some that are passing in other areas. I mean, Colombia and Panama agreed last month 500 migrants could cross per day. And the push is to up the quota. Panama's president told the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday that more than 80,000 irregular migrants have traveled through Panama this year. And he's calling for assistance, saying that his country is limited on migrant care. They don't have the bucks to keep them up. They don't have the money to create these camps, which again pushes the movement to the north, to the United States, if the people can get through. So temporarily, that's been cleared at Del Rio. Bravo. Yes, absolutely. But now what? Like, that's a Band-Aid you can't put on and say, well, let's just forget about it for now. It's going to heal. No, 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 no. Because the push, the press is still happening, especially with countries like Panama, like I just said, saying, no, we can't keep you. We have no money. We have no more resources. You've got to move. And so, of course, where do you think they're going to move? Of course, they're moving toward the United States. So one crisis for now cleared, but cross your fingers if there isn't another one right behind it. And in the meantime, can somebody please wake up to the reality of the situation and realize that some hard choices have to be made for real, regardless of Democrat, Republican, or whoever. All right, we've just scratched the surface. Odds and ends coming up in a few moments.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Hit the mailbag. A lot of thoughts about immigration for many of you across the country, specifically Del Rio and the situation and what we were talking about, because you think, especially for many listening in areas where you're not too far from a border, you think of what the people are going through. You think of the processes, the shortages. I mean, there's so many angles to this, more than a Rubik's Cube. But for odds and ends, states are starting to roll out the booster shots. Yeah, did you know that? For the coronavirus booster shots? Well, if you're 65 and older, if you're a resident of a long-term care facility, if you have certain medical conditions, you qualify, so you probably would have been contacted, or you will be contacted. But it's the people with their jobs on the line, frontline workers, where they're exposed a lot. They're talking about who's eligible for this third shot. But what about half of the people out there? Well, I shouldn't say half, but a lot of people don't even have the first set of shots. There could end up being some confusion over that. But all together, 60 million people will be eligible for a third Pfizer shot over the next couple of months. I'll be curious if all of that gets used up or not. Because it seems as though there's some, it's unclear a little bit about the rollout. And the FDA is reviewing some of the data for a Moderna booster, but they don't have an application apparently from Johnson & Johnson yet at this point. And oh yeah, speaking of COVID and numbers, you know, last week we talked about grim milestones and passing those milestones and what does it mean once again for healthcare, because someone you love has a heart attack, they need to get an ICU bed, something else happens and they can't get one. I'm very familiar with shortages of ICU beds because I watched my mother-in-law go through COPD, and luckily there was twice where she had to be in an emergency room situation waiting. But luckily, when she needed it, she was able to get in. So here's the numbers for what it's worth. 213.5 million have been vaccinated. That includes 183.7 million fully vaccinated. These are Johns Hopkins numbers and CDC numbers. In the last week, 646.9 thousand doses per day were given out. But that's a decrease of 24% from the week before. Notice there's been a big push. Have you listened to what the vaccine spots are saying, whether it's radio, television, newspaper, because we still have newspapers, right? Or wherever you're looking, you're seeing a bunch of that. I'm seeing a lot of it. And cases per day, you know, depending on where you live, what's the rolling average? 118,000 plus, you know. The sad part is the people that go to the hospital panic, fear-stricken, thinking, it's not me, it's not going to happen to me, I didn't want to go through the vaccine, I'm hearing a lot of crap about it, I don't feel secure, I have conditions, I'm worried about side effects. And then they get in the situation where they can't breathe, they're in the hospital scared to death, and their families are scared to death. And some of them make it out, and some of them don't. And hospitals are still struggling because they're having peak levels in some places, right? And the peak levels is the thing that's scary. Because if you need a bed, you need a bed. What's the worst thing in the world? Not being able to breathe. But the boosters, they bungled it. They did. So there doesn't really instill confidence. I mean, you got to say, it wasn't making people feel confident. When it's like, oh, well, maybe you don't need the it's pretty effective. Oh, well, maybe you don't need the booster. Well, no, the booster worked in Israel, so maybe you have to get the booster. And when people are so sensitive to every morsel of information, when you make the wrong move, they're definitely not open-minded to letting that go, right? To forgetting, oh, I'm forgetting that I heard all this other information before. I think that's part of the problem. The misinformation, the wild extreme information, just personal choices people are making, people knowing people who got super, super sick. I mean, every possible scenario you can think of, every possible scenario has happened. And, you know, there's questions like, can you get a COVID booster and a flu shot together? Should you get a flu shot? What if you're not on the list to get a booster shot? What does that mean? Is it not effective after 8 months? What if you're really low on the list and you can't get a booster shot? Should I be panic-stricken if I can't get a booster shot? You know, I mean, lots and lots of questions still exist around coronavirus, right? And this is the deal. There's more people asking for proof of vaccination. We're taking the show to Palm Springs. Not this upcoming week, but the following week, the tail end of the following week. And it's really, show-wise, it would only be one show. But for me to go into a major tennis tournament in this country, which is Indian Wells, I have to have vaccine proof. As do players, as do, you know, the world's greatest players are there, as do other people in the media. And if you don't have vaccine proof, they don't care who you are. You're not getting in. I have to sign a waiver. I have to go through a couple of other hurdles that are pretty intense that I've never seen before. But the fear is this is a major event. This is an outdoor event, but it's a major event with the world's biggest players. And if you're going to be there, you cannot be there if you're not following the protocols. And the protocol is you have to have the vaccine. I think we're seeing this pop up more for events, having to show proof of a vaccination. And we know in some places in the U.S. that's happening for other things that are happening indoors versus outdoors. And of course, you get closer and deeper into the winter, things will also change, I think, with that too, because of being inside. If only we could wave a magic wand, right? But we are way past that. We are way past the magic wand days. Now it's about tracking this and going through a whole other pandemic here, because that's, I mean, we're still living in the pandemic. 18 months and counting for most people. This is the buzz. This is what is still being talked about, besides the horrible things we saw at the border. And does that affect you because of where you live? Is it affecting resources in your area? I got a lot of emails about that. We'll talk about it when we go to the mailbag. And will we always be in this kind of sort of semi-tilt situation, or do we, or will we see as we swing into 2022 that things will be, you know, a little bit different? That the pandemic, will restrictions ease? Will we have those weeks that we had in the summer? Or not, right? In the meantime, coming up on tap this week, something I know we'll be talking about is the debt limit standoff and revisiting the scenarios, the worst case scenarios, right? And what does all of that mean? So, raising the federal debt limit. How many times have you heard conversations about that? Well, the Federal Reserve officials created a crisis management playbook, apparently, a few years ago to come up with a response if the federal government can't pay all the bills because of any kind of a political standoff over pushing up the federal debt limit. And you know what the options include? I just was reading something about this in the Wall Street Journal and talked to a financial guy who understands the inner workings of this. The Fed buying Treasury securities, rather, in default on the open market, selling Treasuries owned by the Fed to counteract potentially big strains in the financial markets. Supposedly, that there no steps can be ruled out, right? Wow. The Fed's preference to avoid directly financing the government. What if the contingency planning became public was one of the big worries, supposedly. And here we are once again in that same scenario. Congress facing perhaps another political standoff over how to raise the debt ceiling before the Treasury Department can't pay the bills. Ooh, mailbag next.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Jeremy Scott.
The $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill will be passed this week, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We'll bring the bill to the floor tomorrow for consideration.
Speaker Pelosi on ABC's This Week. The bill includes funding for roads, bridges, high-speed internet, rail and transit, drinking water upgrades, and other priorities meant to shore up the nation's infrastructure. Texas Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez telling Fox News he's not so hot on the bill.
The price of gas is going up, the price of eggs, the price of basic necessities is through the roof. At the end of the day, the spending is completely out of control. We have to stop somewhere because eventually the bill becomes due, and it's going to come due in the form of higher taxes for everyone.
The legislation was passed in the Senate last month with bipartisan support, 19 Republicans and every Democrat voting for it. You're listening to USA Radio News. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas is saying a significant number of Haitian illegal immigrants are being released into the United States. He told Fox News Sunday that number is somewhere between 10 and 12,000, but could be higher.
About 3,000 are actually in detention. Others are in immigration court proceedings. They are monitored by us. We impose conditions.
Last week, more than 15,000 Haitians congregated underneath a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. The encampment has been cleared out, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection has reopened the border crossing in Del Rio. A shooting outside a bar near Seattle, Washington, killed at least three people, three others wounded. At least one of the surviving victims said to be in critical condition. Police say shots were fired after a dispute between two people inside a sports bar in Des Moines. They left that bar in separate vehicles after an argument and then fired shots into a parking lot. This is USA Radio News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Emails, kdkdelaneyradio.com, 24/7. This one from Chris. We're just going to dive right into it. Chris says, hey, Kate, I live not too far from Del Rio. You described the town excellently. I have to say, I wondered if you had been through there several times. I know you talked about being with the Border Patrol back in the past, and I will tell you that the people of Del Rio really came together and tried to help out however they can, did what they had to do, put up with some of the traffic jams and nonsense because the bridge had to be moved, but they're sort of used to it, if you will. And it is a sad situation because it is an area that now more people will certainly flock to. And when you get that many people at once, you see what it turns into and how it raises the awareness for so many others as to what the real situation is in that area and how exposed in this small, sleepy town where there's lots of crossings and often there's hardly any problems, but how a push of too many people can cause a nightmare. And too many people is 15,000 people under a bridge, just not a good situation for the Border Patrol, who had to do what they had to do to try to get people out. And unfortunately, it looked worse than what was really going on, from what I understand, with the video and the pictures that were released. Yeah, you're talking about the Border Patrol is not using horses after the treatment of the people because they saw the people being chased, and it looked like a horrible scene from a movie. I mean, it did. It looked harsh. And what is harsh is the people that think that they can come over, so they almost kill themselves trying to get there in the first place, spend maybe every last dime if somebody's helping them, and then they end up sleeping in dirt. That's it. They sleep in dirt, have no food, babies in their arms, and there's thousands of people, and that's where they are. And they're not going to get through. So they might get processed and get out of those squalid conditions, but for how long? You know, how long? How do you reverse this situation? What do you do once you've got these temporary camps that come up with these incredible, staggering, mind-blowing speed, frankly, and how it overwhelmed the Border Patrol? So that's like a becomes a staging area because they're working with the agents. They're trying to process people. They're stuck. They are stuck. They were stuck under the bridge, and that's it. And there was shade under the bridge, so that was part of the reason, because of heat-related problems. So they had to do that. But the scene of the crowds and sleeping on dirt, milling around, the triple-digit heat, the sanitary deteriorating conditions moment by moment, the federal response trying to quell the surge in the crossings. I mean, the southwest border has been crushed in the last couple of months with unauthorized, of course, crossings. And we haven't seen these kind of crossings, by the way, from what I understand from a Border Patrol agent, in like 2 decades. You had 200,000 people cross last month. The total this year, 1.5 million. And there could be more, but that's what we know. 1.5 million. So that swell in Del Rio, which is, what, 150 miles, give or take, west of San Antonio, ranch land, thorny bush, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's a challenge. But it's a terrible challenge to get through there. And the amount of people that they see that are coming, that is multiplying, you know, as this leaves my lips. And bravo to the people in Del Rio for doing what they could and trying to deal with the crunch, right, of the patch of area that they live in, because it's difficult. Yeah. All right. There's a couple more like that. There was one from Anne who says, Kate, I never was big on the whole wall thing, but now I'm starting to think, boy, was he not right about that wall. And the reason, anything that dissuades, anything that can stop people from a massive throng, thousands upon thousands of coming through, is what we need, because there's no protection for them in the first place. So coming over is so dicey, and then having to be processed, mobilized, and sent back is sad and ridiculous for a lot of those people. So the end game is not a pleasant one, no matter how you slice this up. And boy, oh boy, did I see the drone footage of the people. This should have happened years and years ago, decades ago. There should have been a way to streamline this process much differently. And I know that sounds Pollyanna-ish, but I believe, like I think you believe, that there were things that could have been done. Amen, sister. I absolutely think there are things that could have been done, but that's the thing. You can't go back in time. We can't go back in time, right? I mean, think about it. If you could go back in time, would there be something in your life you'd do differently? Of course. In this case, how it affects all of us as Americans, how we feel about that. We're a nation, let's face it, of people from other places, but seeing what happens to people and seeing how they're used and manipulated, too, by the way, and then what happens to the people on the other side. I mean, it's not an exaggeration. It's not, to me, it's not, well, you get your news here, you get your news there, and you can decide who's telling the truth. The truth is it's squalid conditions. The truth is people are being fed lies about what can happen when they cross over, and they're desperate to get away from horrific situations where they are, so they keep on moving. But when they keep on moving, they can end up being sent back to an even worse situation. But hey, the border reopened at Del Rio after the camp was cleared. And I'll say it again. I mean, bravo to all the people who were there. Lots of them getting no sleep and processing migrant after migrant after migrant. That's what's happening. All right, let's move on to this one. This one is from Charlie, who's listening to us in New Orleans, and he says, Kate, I laughed and almost cried when I heard you talk about the trash parade in New Orleans and how bad it was, and you are 100% right. That was the idea of the trash parade, to highlight to our city officials, yeah, we're in trouble. You need to do something about the smell, the animals, things that are happening. I mean, there's still people that don't, believe it or not, have electricity, and it's full-on rebuild mode in many pockets of our fair city and, of course, many of the towns around us. And this is an area that depends on tourism. Fun in the Big Easy has not been fun lately. Desperately, that's something that the city needs and will get, because it's such a bigger part of a bigger community. So I agree with that. The people there are resilient. Like, I was reading a story about, which we know because I talked about it when it was happening on the air, Slidell was hit so hard. And the guy that was attacked by the alligator, his wife pulled his body up, and when after she heard the big splash and he had been brutally attacked by a gator, found a boat to go get help. And by the time she came back, he was gone. And of course, now they found that gator and they're identifying the human remains. And it appears to be the man that was pulled into the water in Slidell. It just goes to show you, I mean, there's so many sidebar things that happen when you're flooded to that level, and that's what happened in outlying areas outside of New Orleans. I mean, Louisiana, and you know exactly what happened. And somebody asked me, is New Orleans safe to travel right now? I'd say it would be fairly safe, but the problem is, where are you going? To the French Quarter? What is New Orleans famous for? Music, nightlife, festivals, the uniqueness, the Cajun food, the colonial architecture, all of that, of course, right? The beignets, the rice fritters that they have, the breakfast, the incredible breakfast. I mean, I could go on about Creole food and the history of New Orleans and all of that, and what it's like to go to the Big Easy. And it is a place, if you haven't been there, you should put it on your bucket list. But the people are got a lot of help from other people in the country, but there still are people that are trying to piece it all together, let's put it that way. All right, and finally this one is from Max, who says, hey, Kate, I could talk UFOs with you, or could talk about the infrastructure bill and what happens next week, but nah. How about the Ryder Cup? I knew you'd be watching the Ryder Cup and maybe flipping back and forth between football. Pretty impressive. The Americans didn't let their foot off the gas. They needed to do that to make up from past blunders at the Ryder Cup. And so what a great blowout win. Young guns from the U.S. are probably going to be heavy contenders each and every Ryder Cup because of that attitude, because of wanting so desperately to reclaim it, and they did. So USA, go USA. Absolutely, I agree. The crowd was crazy, too. I mean, crazy good, right? Especially at the end, and then those afternoon matches. It was fun to watch. It really was. And my favorite, DJ, 5 wins. Incredible. Meet you on the flip side. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
All right, kind of a wide open man cave festival seating. We're inviting everybody in this time around. There's too much to talk about, so the U.S. winning the Ryder Cup, I started the show with the USA chant in a blowout, probably the end of an era for Europe at the Ryder Cup. It wasn't pretty for them, that's for sure. 19-9, the final score. How about Bryson DeChambeau? He drove a ball 419 yards. He pummeled it. Incredible to watch that happen. He was part of the reason that the United States entered the final day with an 11-5 lead, and no team had come back for more than 4 points down on the final day of the Ryder Cup. So the Europeans, a little bit choked up. You had Rory McIlroy from Ireland, who was actually teary-eyed and crying a little bit during his interview. He said, there's nothing like, he said, there is absolutely nothing like the Ryder Cup, and he didn't play his best, and he loved the Ryder Cup, that it, nothing compared to it. There's something different and unique about playing and having the honor to play with others from your, you know, the European countries, and that it was just these once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. And the United States reclaimed the cup and realized that with six newcomers, their youngest team ever, never lost a session. and they were fired up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Steve Stricker, who's from Wisconsin and was the coach or captain coach of the Ryder Cup, was just also overcome with emotion and said this was where we wanted to be. This is a new era. The guys are young. They want it. They're motivated. They came here determined to win. I could see it in their eyes. So the six U.S. Ryder Cup rookies on the golf course in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, scored more points than all of Europe, combining for that 14-4-3 record. Didn't lose a session for the first time in 44 years. 44 years. Dustin Johnson became the first American to go 5-0 since 1979. So the Americans finally looked like Europe because they've dominated the Ryder Cup by winning 9. Are you ready for this? Europe has won 9 of the previous 12 until getting routed along the shores of Lake Michigan. Scottie Scheffler even took down the number one player in the world with a 4-3 victory over John Rahm. How about that? It was just brilliant. And I love that the gallery cheered loudly for Stricker, the Wisconsin native, who had been at the helm of 2 blowouts. And he guided the U.S. to that win in the President's Cup in 2017. And then Whistling Straits, what just happened. So, well done. Well played. I don't think Europe is going to give up that easily, though. So, I think it'll be competitive next time around, too. What's left in the NFL? The Eagles and the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. It kicks at 8:15. This is an NFC East battle. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for Philadelphia, versus the sort of veteran. I'm going to call him the sort of veteran. He's a veteran. Dak Prescott, who looked really good in the first two games, even with the one loss. Meanwhile, Washington and the Bills got together in Buffalo territory for week 3 in the NFL, and it was all Bills. 43-21, the final score there. Josh Allen, 358 yards and 4 touchdowns. Just phenomenal. Another great performance. The Browns beat the Bears 26-6. Baker Mayfield passing for 246 yards and a touchdown. And how about the Ravens getting by the Lions 19-17? But the thing that was really, really cool was Justin Tucker's NFL record 33-yard field goal, because that was the winner and that was the difference maker. And that is incredible. 66 yards. Wow. He definitely ate his Wheaties. The Titans win again. They're 2-1. They beat the Colts 25-16. Ryan Tannehill, 3 touchdowns in that effort. The Chargers with a shocker beating the Chiefs. The Chiefs have lost 2. What has happened, Kansas City? 1-2. Opportunities to win, but interceptions and some things that have happened to Kansas City in those 2 losses. So it was another loss, and of course an interception was costly for the Chiefs as they were trying to do something in the end. The Saints beat the Patriots 28-13. There was so much concern, Saints people, that the Saints were going to be without Drew Brees and what was that going to be like. And, you know, Jameis Winston is getting that protection, and that protection is making a difference. And so the Saints it wasn't competitive all day with the Patriots. They got on the board and they just kept on rolling all the way through. He has some good weapons. The Falcons beat the lowly Giants. Who would want to cheer for the Giants? What kind of product are they putting on the field? Give me a break. So 17-14, the final score. I mean, you got one of the greatest running backs, or who could potentially be, Saquon Barkley, but that's squandered. 51 yards he rambled for a touchdown, however. The Bengals beat the Steelers. Joe Burrow connecting, getting it done. The former Heisman winner. 2-1 the Bengals are. A nice win for them on the road against Pittsburgh. The Cardinals, no contest with the Jags. Jags are 0-3. Cardinals 3-0 with a 31-19 victory. They look so, so good. Kyler Murray, 316 yards, one interception, but it was all about the Cardinals. Broncos goose-egged the Jets. Boy, the teams in New York are putrid. Not just the Giants, the Jets are 0-3, and the Broncos walked all over them. I mean, had their way with them. Teddy Bridgewater passes for 234 yards, but it's more about the running game. It's more about what was happening with the offensive line, and there you go. I mean, 3-0 at this point. The Raiders, 3-0. They were at home in danger of losing. It went to overtime. 31-28 was the final. A game-winning field goal makes the difference. The Rams and the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, a lot of people thinking, well, they won the Super Bowl last year. It's going to be the same thing. But Matt Stafford is very comfortable as the new signal caller for the Rams, and he showed it in this methodical marching down the field and beating the Buccaneers and the great Tom Brady, right? How about the Vikings at the mothership? They were probably cheering pretty loudly. The network, of course, where you're hearing me, located in Minneapolis. 30-17, the final score. Woohoo! A very big win for Kirk Cousins, passing for 323 yards and three touchdowns. And I mentioned this before, the Packers with the thriller of the night on Sunday Night Football, 30-29 over the 49ers. Aaron Panther being interviewed at the end by Michelle Tafoya saying, "What's not romantic about football?" Who knows what he's going to say next, but he was like a kid. He was happy. He was pumped up. It was fun to see that game. That game was good to watch on either side of it. Not good if you had some money on the wrong side of it, but otherwise it was very, very good because Rodgers rallied the Packers past the 49ers. Two deep passes to Devontae Adams on a last-minute drive, and that set up the Mason Crosby 51-yard field goal on the final play of the game that gave Green Bay that win over the 49ers. Really tough for the 49ers to lose that one. What drama. Drama. Serious, serious drama. So anyway, very, very exciting. How can I not bring that up and have some sort of man cave? So, yeah. We had a casual man cave. That's what it was, a casual man cave. How about the Brewers? The Brewers clinched the second title for them in 4 years, NL Central title. They beat the Mets 8-4 on Sunday, and that made the difference. Go Brew Crew. Wow. Lots of exciting things happening in good old Wisconsin, eh? Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Remember, 24/7, you can send me your thoughts. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everybody.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.